Now we come to the most controversial part of this lesson, our responsibility to the local assembly. As we have seen in this study, the assembly was local as well as national. Also, the assembly existed in the Old Testament, and a call to assemble was not to be disregarded. So the question becomes, what do we do with the local assembly? Is it necessary? What are the rules? What are my personal responsibilities to it? One thing is for sure, the current churchianity, churches, much like the synagogues of Jesus' time, are not as assemblies, not his assemblies, and are anti the gospel of God and the kingdom. The multicultural congregation and the universal gospel of salvation are an abomination to God. So how do we know that God expects us to be involved with a local assembly of God's covenant Israel people? First of all, God said he would build his assembly, and God calls and anoints and empowers overseers of his sheep in the assembly. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. Now, it's kind of stupid of God to call overseers if the people who are the flock don't ever assemble. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, that means preachers and exhorters, thirdly teachers, that means teaching pastors, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or way of life. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Salute all of them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. These verses are meaningless if no one assembles to be fed, admonished, or guided. To try and say that the only assembly that God endorses is the National Assembly is also meaningless to these verses, because the National Assembly cannot meet in one place to be taught or to be overseen. Just because someone may know their Bible well does not qualify them as being Holy Spirit called and appointed over an assembly or a flock of his sheep. In every case in the New Testament, men who were set aside were ordained or hands laid upon them and prayed in order for them to become overseers. One of the things that grieves my heart is the division among the brethren being fostered by individuals who are self-called, self-appointed, and have no anointing of tender love for the sheep. Now I realize that his sheep who are awake and understand the times in this day are scattered. But as an example, there are hundreds of his sheep within 100 miles of our local assembly that meets once a month. But they are so diverse with doctrines that are not that essential for the times, they refuse to assemble with others who could be taught and edified with a tender, loving spirit. There's a second way we know that God expects us to be involved. Those who have been called out of Israel to be a part of the assembly are under the authority of God and his appointed overseers. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves. And number three is God commands us not to forsake the assembly, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as we ye see the day approaching. Now our assemblies may not have the best of buildings. They may meet in houses or rented rooms. Certainly the assembly should not go in debt to build monumental buildings or edifice to God or self. One of the things that hinders the assembly is a low priority given to the assembly. We are all too busy with too many other things. Now, I am not advocating the schedule of the modern-day church, which would kill anyone. I am reminded of a poem that I once repeated as a Baptist preacher. Mary had a little lamb, it would have been a sheep. But it joined a local Baptist church and died from lack of sleep. Instructions are given as to the order of the assembly. God gave orders to the local assembly, and if there was no local assembly demanded, then why would he give these orders? 1 Corinthians 11:18. When you come together of the church at the assembly, I hear that there's divisions. And verse 20, when you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. 14:26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It would be hard to sing hymns and songs to edify each other if we were not in an assembly. The apostles assembled on the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week let every one of you lay by him in store, talking about offerings. And the assembly has been given powers to bind and loose and judge individuals as well as civil and ecclesiastical leaders. Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And verses 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18:15 talks about the church having the power as an assembly to bind people in discipline. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. If he won't hear that, if he will hear that, thou hast gained a brother. But if he has not, take with you two or more witnesses, that they may witness and testify to the mouth. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So there is an example. And he says, where there are two or three gathered together, he will meet with us. 1 Corinthians 5:1, we have an example of this discipline actually taking place. Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Verily, as absent in the body, I present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, assembled, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. We have the power to bind sickness, James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We have the power of binding opposing authorities, civil and otherwise. 2 Corinthians 10:13, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Evil opposing authorities are those strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Number 6. The assembly, God calls us to the assembly because it has been given the authority of Jesus Christ to administer the Lord's Supper and baptism. He said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 1:12, now this I say to every one of you, saith, I am Paul. Some of you say I'm from Apollos, and some say I was converted by Cephas, and some of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were we baptized in the name of Paul? And he goes on to talk about he didn't baptize any except for two or three. God called him to preach. A small assembly authorized the baptism. Paul did not do the baptizing. Acts 19:1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't heard of such a thing. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said unto John's baptism. And Jesus and said, Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus gave the command to baptize, Paul said he was not sent to baptize. When I baptize someone, I have to do it under the authority of the local church. That's the way I do it. I give a certificate so stating, we do not baptize in our own authority, our own name. The assembly has been given the mission of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, Matthew 13:10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations, 16:15, it said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, Acts 14:7, and there they preach the gospel. So on and on we could go with many scriptures. And number 8, the assembly is a place of discovering, empowering, and exercising the gifts of the Spirit for edification of the assembly of the body of Christ. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. What is the purpose of the spiritual gifts? Are they to be used out there on your own, singularly? Not usually. In Romans 14 and verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the body, the assembly, the church. There are many verses that talk about using the gifts for the church. So what is the conclusion? God's covenant people cannot be a part of today's multicultural universal gospel churches, but we will never have the power and effectiveness God intended as long as we stay separated and ununified in our effort to preach the gospel and edify the saints. There is nothing to keep a person from knowing, loving, and serving the Lord to the best of their ability alone. But God's intent was for us to have fellowship, edification, instruction, admonition, and encouragement. To this end, God gave all of us gifts of the Spirit to serve in the assembly. And he gave gifts of men as preachers, teachers, and edifiers for the assembly. None of this is possible or logical if the covenant people are unwilling to assemble on a regular basis. Now becomes the ways and means. The Bible does not give specifics on or demand a specific form of assembly other than a means whereby the gifts can be exercised and the overseer can be heard and corporate singing, praising, and praying can be achieved. The early church met at the temple, met in homes, met in caves and catacombs, as well as the open areas. Even through the years when the covenant people were being persecuted in their church building, they had to revert to some more secluded and secret places. Today our assembly has been meeting here in Missouri in homes for several years, and just now is getting to a size where we'll have to seek a larger facility. I know of some assemblies that have brought or rented small old school buildings, church buildings, bank buildings, and even other facilities. The key is to physically assemble where you can interact face-to-face. Some are using electronic conferencing tools such as TVs, phones, and computers. My conclusion on this type of togetherness is still out, at least for now. While some of these groups have played DVDs and CDs of God Called, Ordained, and Anointed Men, most of these groups do not have God Called, Ordained, and Appointed pastors, teachers, or exhorters. And it is more difficult for individuals to exercise their gifts of the Spirit on these settings. My current belief is that these are better than nothing, and if a local assembly of covenant people is not available, someone should start one. That is the whole purpose of the conference we just finished, where Dr. Blanchard's tools were demonstrated for this very task. Another point that should be remembered when trying to start or be involved in an assembly: frequency of assembly does not have to follow the pattern of the modern day church, which is multiple times a week. That's a killer. Our prayer is that everyone in God's covenant people can have a local assembly in which to love and be loved, as well as empowered to withstand the gates of hell, which constantly bombard us. I do not know it all. I am still a learner, a watcher, and a looker. To those who are trying to obey the Lord in assembly, I commend you in whatever way you endeavor. Heavenly Father, help our people, help your people be able to assemble. Help them to want to assemble. Help them to stop fussing and debating over issues that are divisive. Help them to stand on the truth, but that we would encourage one another and draw together. Father, I thank you for the many pastors among us who do preach the truth and the gospel of the kingdom. I pray that you will help them all to build good congregations and have a place to meet. In Jesus' name, amen.